We're on Daf Mem Vav Amud Beis and Maseches Sanhedrin, about 10 lines from the bottom. While we're talking about burial, we're going to talk about the issue that accompanies burial, and that's Hespedim, those eulogies. So now the Gemara asks the following question. Hespeda Yekora Dechayei Havi? Is a hesped, is a eulogy. What's the purpose of the, is it delivered? Yekora, for the honor, Dechaye, of the living, who survive. Okay, again, you find in the Torah examples of eulogy, many times starting with Avram Avinu, but the Torah never writes it as an obligation. Okay, now obviously there's a mitzvah to be kind towards fellow Jews, so obviously it would fit in to eulogize him, but the Torah never really says it's a mitzvah to eulogize. So therefore, it's rabbinic. So the question is, what's the nature of it? Is it for the relatives who survived the deceased and it gives them comfort? Or is it, O yekara d'shchiva havi? Or is it for the honor of the deceased person himself? Okay? Now, obviously, the eulogy is going to speak about all the merits of the deceased person. So the question is, so now, what's the reason for the eulogy? Is it enough just because we want to give honor to the deceased, and therefore he's not alive, he's not going to really, you know, feel the honor the way a person was, or maybe it's for the sake of the living, right? So feel close and feel comforted. That's the question. So again, the Gemara asks, "Lamai nafkamina? What would be the difference? You tell me what would be the what would be a case where it would make a difference? What the reason is?" If it's for the reason, for the benefit of the deceased or for the living. So give me a case where it would be a difference. One would say yes, one would say no.
He's a Rasha if he's not given a husband.
Okay, any other ideas? Simple. Simple. The Amar, if this before he dies, he says, Lotis Bedul HaGavra. He declares you should not eulogize him. He's person's referring to himself in the third person, right? The person before he dies, I don't want a eulogy. So if you say it's for the honor of the dead, he can be moichel on the honor. If it's for the honor of the living, then he can't be moichel that his family shouldn't feel comforted. Right? He can't say that. So that would seem to be, and that's the case. Or another reason, Inam, I'll give you another reason, la'apuki miyorshim. In other words, to appropriate money for the eulogy from the heirs. You got to pay the guy to eulogize. This was a whole skill. It wasn't just a eulogy. There were lamenters, professional lamenters. It even goes down till today. You know, you have to, if a person's not affiliated with a shul and they need to someone to get buried, you have to hire a rabbi and a cantor and all these things. The question is, who pays? Is it come out of the dead person's estate, as it were, or is it for a lot of the surviving relatives? Okay, that's the difference. Can we force the heirs to pay for it? Okay, interesting. Look how he writes it. If the eulogy's purpose is to honor the deceased, the heirs can be forced to pay for it out of the funds they inherited from the deceased.
Because they're getting...
Yeah, but they have no right to deny the deceased's honor. If our eulogy is meant to honor the living, then the heirs have the right to forego their own honor and they need not pay. I mean, it kind of fits in, we don't have it, we don't want it. It's kind of funny. I mean, that is really going back to, if the first guy, let's say the guy who eulogized him, I don't want you to eulogize me. Okay, so if it's for him, we won't eulogize him. If it's for us, we want to fill the eulogy. The question now, who's got to pay?
When you say honor the living when you eulogize, how do you honor the living? This is to soothe their hearts. That's okay. The only reason they do it.
So that's the idea. So that's for their honor. For their honor. So you soothe them for their honor. That's what it means. Okay. It comforts them. Right? So it comforts them. It means we do it in honor of these people, and therefore the focus is them. So can we take money away from the relatives? Can they say, we don't want to pay? If it's for us, we don't want to pay. It's for him, then they have to pay out of their inheritance. So again, Moore is going to go through a similar type of proof and non-proof, as we had before with burying. Tashma, come in here, I'll bring your proof. Ayavu Avram li spoke so we've gone. So Avram came to eulogize Sarah and to cry for her. That's when he came back after the Akedas Yitzchak. So obviously, the Amrit Mishum Yakara Dechayehu, if you say the eulogy is for the honor of the living, then it's a problem. Mishum Yakara de Avram Masho La Lasara. Is it conceivable that out of the honor of Avraham, the burial of Sarah would be delayed? In other words, we got to go back. I mean, she died right after the Akedas Yitzchak, right? Look, again, Avram was at Har HaMoriah at the time she died, right? Now, it must have taken time for Avram to know about it. They didn't send him a text message. So it takes time. How many days did it take him to get to Har HaMoriah?
Three
days. How many days will it take him to get back?
3 days.
When did Sarah die? Right after the Akedas Yitzchak happened. So it took Avram 3 days to get there. He had to travel 3 days before he eulogized her. So now, we already said you're not supposed to leave a dead body overnight, right?
Right.
But there's a good reason if it's for her honor. And obviously for Avram to eulogize her. So, that's something else. Oh, that's also true.
That's right.
But anyway, so V'yamrit Nishum Yakardachai. So if you say the reason is in honor of the living, for Avram's honor, Nishum Yakarda Avram Masal Sarah. So for Avram's honor, they're going to delay the burial of Sarah? That doesn't make sense, right? So if the eulogy is given for the deceased's own honor, so the deceased's honor, it's understandable the burial will be delayed in order for eulogy to take place. Eulogy is in honor of the surviving relative. Why should the deceased be subjected to dishonor of a delayed funeral simply to facilitate the relative's honors? Right? So what would they benefit? Why delay it? So it seems to be a proof that it is for the honor of the deceased. That would seem to be a proof to that. Gemara answers, no, Sarah Gufa Nichalo. Sarah herself would have preferred that her burial be delayed. She loved her husband so much. Ki heichid de miyakib her Avram, said Avram would receive honor through her. In other words, she was such a tzaddik as she'd be willing to sit around a few days before being buried so that Avram would get the benefits of giving the eulogy. All right, so that's not a good proof. Let's try another one. Tashma.
But the eulogy be given immediately after the burial, or could it be...
But supposedly not at the funeral. You're supposed to eulogize at a funeral.
But if it's not possible, they can do it later. I don't know.
Delaying the burial. That's the point. Delaying the burial.
Right.
Tashma, come and learn another proof. It says over here, remember back to that story with Avia, the son of Yeravam. Remember, all his children did not get a burial, but this one got a burial, right? Yeah. So it says, they all eulogized and buried Aviah, the son of Yeravam. Now, V'yamrit Mishum Yakar Dechayehu, if you say the purpose of the eulogy is for the honor of the living, for honor of the living, Hanach B'nei Yakar Aninu, were the other relatives deserving of such honor? They were all wicked people. That's the whole point. None of the others got a proper burial because we have to worry about them. Must be, it was in honor of the deceased, and he was at least not so bad. He deserved that. Same answer. Nicha lahol tzadikaya demikrabi inches. It's pleasing to the righteous that other people receive honor through them. This avia, it's for his benefit. He wants his family to get a benefit. Perhaps the point of eulogy is to honor the surviving relatives of the deceased. Nevertheless, God wished avia to be eulogized, since Aviah would have wished others to receive honor through his... That's what a tzaddik wants, things like that. Okay, so not a proof from there. Let's try again. Tashma, another proof. Come and learn. It says, again, we had this before as well, the wicked anasos, where it says, all you soft of the they shall not be eulogized, nor they shall be buried, the people of anasos. Now, if eulogies were meant to bestow honor on the deceased, it's understandable why the honor was denied to them, because they're wicked people. But if the eulogy are meant to honor the living, why was it that they weren't eulogized? At least, why should the living suffer? If they were surviving people, they were righteous. So why am I good for them? Gemara answers again, Lo nichad litzadikim demiyakarisha. It's displeasing for righteous people to receive honor through the praise of the wicked. Man, you're a Baal Tshuva, and they honor your parents for all their, you know, wicked things, right? So therefore, that would not fit. So it's not a proof. Next, try another one. Toshma, come in here, another proof. What's going on over here? It's recording the prophet Yirmiyahu told Tzidkiyahu, that was the last king of the Jewish people. What does he say? B'shalom tomus u'b'misrafos avosecha hamolochim harishonim asher hayu fanecha. He's basically saying, you're going to die and receive all the honor that regular kings got. What does it mean? Literally, you shall die in peace, and like the pyres of your fathers, like they would burn a lot of the old clothes, whatever. When a king dies, no one's also about to use it. So they burn his leftover clothes, whatever, and stuff. That's an honor. Former kings who were before you had that, so shall they make a pyre for you, and our masters shall they say when they eulogize you. So the Navi's saying, he's going to get a good eulogy. He's going to be treated with lots of respect. Okay? These words were, okay, when the Babylonians were conquering Yehuda, the Navi said, don't worry, you'll still get a good funeral, and that was meant to comfort him. Now, although he's going to lose in battle, Yirmiyahu said, nevertheless, even though you will not be killed by the conquerors. You're going to die a natural death. You're going to be buried as a befitting burial. Okay? Fine. So now, based on, and part of that is, you will get a eulogy. Now, if you want to say it's the eulogy is for the living, for the honor of the living, well, my nafla amina, what would it matter at Sitkio? How does it comfort him knowing that the eulogy is for them if it doesn't give him any, he wanted to comfort him. If it's for his honor, that's a comfort. But for the relatives, what kind of honor is that? So again, Hachi Kamalei, this is what Yirmiyahu told him. So when he told him, this is what he meant to say to him. Liyakru Beich Yisrael, the Jewish people will receive honor through you. Ki Hechad Yisraka Bevachasa, just as they received honor through your forefathers, the earlier kings of Yehuda. Right? Although the purpose of the eulogy is to honor the Jewish people, Yirmiyahu's remark was nevertheless a consolation to Tzidkiyahu. He now knew that his memory would be a source of honor to Jewish people. So he felt good that the Jews would be honored by that. So again, it's not a proof. Going on to the top of Mem Zayin Omid Beis.
What are we trying to prove anyway?
Again, what's the purpose of the eulogy? Is it merely for the deceased, or is it for the survivors?
What are we trying to prove?
Well, back and forth. It's going back and forth. So again, we're going to now try to bring another proof that it's in honor of the deceased. Now, these are words of the Navi. Tehillim. Nivze be'enav nimos. He who is degraded in his own eyes and repulsive. What's that talking about? Well, you have to know the beginning of the chapter there. The beginning says, who may sojourn in your tent? Who can be close to you, Hashem? Then it lists a number of qualities that a person has to have to be close to Hashem. So then the last thing is, he is degraded in his own eyes and repulsed in his eyes. In other words, he's humble. He's humble. He's a humble guy. He doesn't think a lot of himself. And that's going to be close to Hashem. That's what David wrote. Now the question is, who did David have in mind when he said that? He had in mind, Zeh Chizkiyahu Melech Yehuda. This is Chizkiyahu, the king of Judah. What did he do? Remember, Chizkiyahu had a very bad father. Ahaz was a big, big Russian. So now when the father died, who's in charge of the funeral? The son, Tzidkiyahu. Now normally a king gets big, honorable burial. Look what happened here. Shigirer atzamas aviv almita shalchavolim. They dragged his father's bones in a bed of ropes. In other words, and that is a great disgrace. So now look what it is. By doing that, Chizkiyahu, instead of Chizkiyahu getting honored, that his father gets a big fancy funeral, Chizkiyahu degraded himself in his own eyes, and he got praised for this. Right? Chizkiyahu's actions make sense if gestures of respect for the dead are meant primarily to honor the dead themselves. Okay? Now, Ahaz had been a wicked king, blah, 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 did terrible things. Upon his death, his son Chizkiyahu publicly disgraced him in order to impress upon the masses the importance of avoiding evil conduct. The sages praise him for this, for Chizkiyahu showed himself willing to forgo his own and his father's honor for the sake of sanctifying God's name. Now, although in general one is forbidden to malign the honor of a king of Israel, this applies only when a king conforms to proper behavior. Achaz didn't. So now they want to say it's a proof, right? He's saying, so it makes sense if respect for the dead are permanently meant to honor the dead themselves. Why? For if this is so, the converse is also true. The opposite is also true. If it's meant to honor the dead, so what's the opposite? What if you do something to disgrace them? It will disgrace them, right? That's the point. Gestures of disgrace would primarily disgrace who? The dead themselves. So it's appropriate that Achaz's bones were dragged in disgrace for this dishonored Achaz. So if the main reason for the eulogies is to honor the dead, so if he's a Rasha, therefore we would not honor him. But if its main reason is for the living, so why shouldn't even this Rasha get a husband? Because it's mainly for the living. So he says, the Gemara says, but even if we say that such gestures are meant for the honor of the living, my time, why did Chizkiah act that way? It has nothing to do with his father. If the main thing is for him, then why does he have to do it? If a eulogy is not important to the dead, so what does it matter what he did? So it would appear it has to be for the dead. Moore says, no, not a proof at all. Even if it's for him, but it's a new point he had in mind. He wanted to bring an atonement for his father. By disgracing his father, that brings atonement for his father. Right? The Gemara goes back, wait a minute. But on account of his father's atonement, was it proper to suspend the honor of the entire Jewish people? Right? It's not an honor for them. No, it is. Yisrael gufei nichalei demichli yikar degabei. The Jews themselves were very happy to forgo their honor on Chizkiyahu's account. So that's out as well. Okay, let's try again. Another proof. Tashma, another proof. Come and learn. Omar Lohan. This is now Rabbi Yehuda Nasi. Rabbi Yehuda Nasi. Before he died, he told his children, when you're going to carry my coffin to the place where I'm buried. Now, where did he live at the end of his life? Commentary says he lived in Tzipori. Where's Tzipori? It's more north in Israel. It's up in the north. If you go to Israel, it's one of the common places where you stop off tourist attractions. However, his burial plot was where he earlier lived in Beis Sha'arim, which was the place where Sanhedrin were. So now, he's telling his children, before he dies, he says, Al taspeduni bayaros. Do not eulogize me in the small towns along the way, because they're going to have to go traveling. So sometimes, you know, it's a very important, you know, certain people, they want to eulogize them everywhere. Remember, he was the prince over all the Jews. So everyone should get a chance to eulogize him. He says, no, don't eulogize me in the small towns, rather only in the big cities where the crowds will be larger. Okay. Now, it doesn't mean the people from the small towns would miss the eulogies. They just would travel to the big town and hear the eulogy there. Okay, so that's the point. That's what he said. Eulogize me only in the big towns. So now, v'i amrit yikar dechaye, if you say that a eulogy is given for the honor of the living, it's for the living, so my nafka l'mene, what difference would it make where he's eulogized? What does it matter? You can eulogize in front of small towns, big towns, right? Presumably, Yehuda Nasi wished his eulogies to be delivered to large crowds because this was more honorable for him, wouldn't you think? But if the point of the eulogy is to honor the living, not the dead, why was he concerned about that? Do one everywhere. So he says, no, really, it's more honorable for the Jewish people if I'm eulogizing big crowds. We say, oh, we had a big, big, big rabbi. Look, huge, huge crowds. So no proof from that as well. So we try again. Okay. So now we're going to flip around and say it's the honor for the deceased, maybe. Tashma. The Mishnah stated, we're going back to our Mishnah. Forget about actual case studies. The case studies aren't proving anything. Let's go back to what our Mishnah said. What if halinu lichvodo? You're allowed to delay the burial if it's, you leave him overnight for his honor. For his honor. What are examples of his honor? So Mishnah listed what? Number one, lahavi lo aron v'tachrichim, to bring a casket and shrouds for him. We don't have one, so you got to wait. It's for his honor. Okay. Eino over a love, and if you do that, you're not transgressing any prohibition of living over the court, right? So that was the example that you're not transgressing because it's for his, it is ultimately for his honor. So now, what are we worried about? You said ain't over. It's just you haven't transgressed. But what's the issue? Why are you waiting? Well, my lav the chosho meis. Now, when the Mishnah then says another reason you can delay it is to give honor for the deceased. Right, so there's various acts of honor associated with the funeral, bringing the shrouds, and obviously, what about saying the eulogy? Right. And the eulogy are for whose honor? The Mishnah says, his honor.
Yeah.
Ah, so therefore, wouldn't it be lichvodo shomeis? When it says you don't transgress, so when it says and also for his honor, does it means his deceased's honor? So it would seem it's approved the eulogies for the honor of the deceased. No, the Gemara said when it's his honor, it means lo lichvodo shochai. It means honor for the living can be delayed in his honor. Whose honor? For the living's honor, not for the dead's honor. We assumed it was that. So we delay it for the honor of the living. Tuch Gemara asks, when we should kvoda shalchai, maybe le mace, but it's conceivable for the honor of the living, we permit the mace to lie overnight? Would you let him lie overnight just for the honor of the relatives? Gemara says, yep. In, yes. Kiyama rachmana, when does Torah say, lo son and live us all eights? When does Torah say you can't leave the body overnight on the gallows? Right? That's where we're getting this whole idea. That's the source. It's dumia the tliya. It means something similar to when someone is hanging, the ace bay bizayon. He's in a denigrated state. We got to take him out of that denigrated state. But a regular person not hanging from a tree, right? It's just unburied because we're waiting for caskets or shrouds. Even the ace bay bizayon, there's no degradation in leaving him for this purpose. Then lo, it's not a problem. Okay? Therefore, the prohibition applies only when the dead person is being left due to apathy or negligence. When do we say you're denigrating the dead? When I don't, who cares? We can wait a few days. When on the other hand, the purpose of the is to survivors of the deceased will receive the honor due to them, right? So then it's not called degrading the dead because he certainly cares about his family. Okay, still no proof. Tashma. Now the Gemara tries to bring another proof. It says, Helinu lichvodo, if one left the deceased unburied overnight for the sake of his honor, and what would be an example of that? Lishamea alav ayoros, to have time to gather crowds from the neighboring cities to attend the funeral. Okay, if you wait for that, that's okay. You could do that. You can delay it. Lahavi lo mekononos, to bring women that lament. There was expert women who knew how to cry and bring the house down. To bring a casket and shrouds. It's a brisa. Ain't over love. They're not transgressing the prohibition of leaving the body overnight. Why? Shekola osa, because anyone who does these things, ain't ella lichvodo. And here it says, shall mace. It's something in honor of the dead. Our Mishnah said, his honor. We said, I know it's the dead. Maybe it's the living. The brisa is explicit. For the honor of the dead person. Right, the brisa characterizes the various acts of honor associated with the burial as serving the honor of the deceased. It's got to be clear that the eulogy is from the deceased. That you can't wiggle out of that one, you think. No, we can wiggle out of it. Hachikamar, this is what the brisa meant. Kala osa lichvoda shalchai. Whatever is done for honor of the living, although it involves a delay, ein bo bizoyin lames. It's not considered a degradation for the deceased. It's saying it's not considered degradation. It's dochic answer. When the brisa says these acts are done for the honor of the deceased, it simply means they not disgrace the honor of the deceased. That's a big dochic answer. He's saying when it says it's for his honor, it means say not to his degradation. That is a dochic answer. It says it's done for his honor, i.e., it's not considered a disgrace for him. So just say it's not considered a disgrace for him. But anyway, it's a dochic. But more lets it go. Tashma, we're coming down to the wire now. Next proof, Rav Nosson Omer. Rav Nosson says, I guess it's one second. This was a brice. I don't know if it's a brice, what it is. Rav Nosson Omer. Simen Yafel Omeis. It's a good sign. It's a good omen for the deceased. When? Shenifram Yimeno Lachamiso. When retribution is exacted from after his death. In other words, if something bad happens to the body, after the before it's buried, that's a good sign, because he's going to get kapara. You know, the person died, and then whatever happens is not so nice to the body. That's a good sign. We're not talking about you intentionally do it. We're just saying, you're trying to do a funeral, and it they're carrying the casket, and it fell, it broke, and you see his body. That'll kind of be like, not a great thing, right? But don't feel bad. That's a good sign, because they got a kapara from that. Now, to give examples of it, all right? Mei shelo nispad v'lo nikbar, a dead person who was not eulogized and was not buried. Okay? Now, that's a good omen for him. It means he's getting a kapara. Or let's say after he dies, shechaya garasa, a wild animal drags his body across the streets. And look at this one. People, now you understand, when there's a funeral and it's raining, so the eulogizer likes to take advantage of the situation. Well, you see, the heavens above are crying too. See, they care so much about them. Bunch of baloney. It's mamish the opposite. Whenever you hear that, you should cringe. Whoever says that eulogy is an amoritz. He doesn't know this Gemara. Okay? He doesn't know this Gemara. Because when it rains, look at the next example. Rain was sprinkling down on the coffin. It's not because Hashem is crying. Hashem is punishing him. He didn't get enough punishment. He needs kapara. Now go say that eulogy. Oh, he was such a wonderful thing. Hashem brought him kapara. That's why you don't talk about the weather at a funeral. All right? Okay? Zehu simen yavalameis. That's a good sign for the dead, because he's being denigrated, and that's a kapara. Well, wouldn't you think that's a proof that we're supposed to eulogize, make good, so it's for the dead? You think it's for the dead? One of the examples was they didn't eulogize him. Shema mina must be a kardesh chive ho. It must be because it's in honor of the dead. Wouldn't you say that's a proof it's honor of the dead? Guess what? The Gemara had no answer to that. Shema mina. Yes, indeed, from here the proof is conclusive. So now we have the answer that the main purpose of the eulogy is for the purpose of the dead. And therefore, what did we say the two nafgaminas were? If the person who's dying says, I don't want a eulogy, you listen to him, because it doesn't have to do with them. And who has to pay for the eulogy? The family does not. It comes out of his money, not out of their money. They don't have to pay for it. And that's the end of the Gemara for today. Perfect. Two dots. Good place to stop. Okay.